Today is the Feast of the Ascension of our Lord. If you are thoroughly confused or think you are seeing double, I am Father McDonald. I'm just Father's brother, Father Stephen. So I'm in here for just a couple days' visit. And so Father gave me the honor, the privilege of preaching to you on this glorious feast day. And so I'm certainly happy to be here at St. Isidore's. The epistle for the Feast of the Ascension of our Lord is taken from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1. The former treatise I made, O Theophilus, of all things which Jesus began to do and to teach, until the day on which, giving commandments by the Holy Ghost to the apostles whom he had chosen, he was taken up, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many proofs, for 40 days appearing to them, and speaking of the kingdom of God. In eating together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but should wait for the promise of the Father, which you have heard, saith he, by my mouth. For John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. They therefore who were come together asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? But he said to them, It is not for you to know the times or moments which the Father has put in his own power, but you shall receive the power of the Holy Ghost coming upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had said these things, while they looked on, he was raised up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they were beholding him going up to heaven, behold, two men stood by them in white garments, who also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand you looking up to heaven? This Jesus, who is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come as you have seen him going into heaven. And please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel is taken from that of St. Mark, chapter 16. At that time, as the 11 were at table, Jesus appeared to them, and he upbraided them with their incredulity and hardness of heart, because they did not believe them who had seen him after he was risen again. And he said to them, Go ye into the whole world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they shall drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay their hands upon the sick, and they shall recover. And the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God. But they going forth preached everywhere, the Lord working withal, and confirming the word with signs that followed. And these are the words of today's gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Reverend Father, dear faithful, as I said, today is the glorious feast of the Ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. The completion, the culmination, the perfection of our Lord's life here on earth. It is a day which proclaims the sovereign dignity of our Lord, the glory, the majesty which is his. After considering our Lord throughout his public life, the suffering that he had to undergo, the ignominy, the humiliation of his passion and death, now we consider, now we meditate upon his glorious triumph, his ascension into heaven, body and soul. It is a mystery of our Lord's life that we must thoroughly understand, that we must thoroughly meditate upon and contemplate if we're going to truly understand what is our own destiny. As followers of Christ, as children of God, we too are meant to one day go to heaven. And therefore, this glorious feast day in many ways speaks to each one of us. And thus, we must contemplate this mystery of our Lord, the ascension into heaven. And in doing so, we should consider three things. Firstly, what do we celebrate on this glorious feast day? Secondly, why did our Lord ascend into heaven? Why was it necessary that he should ascend into heaven? And then finally, how are we to really truly enter into this mystery? How are we as followers of Christ to follow him into heaven? Firstly, what do we celebrate? We celebrate the fact that after 40 days after our Lord's resurrection, in which our Lord preached to his apostles, prepared them for their ministry, formed them, instructing them in how they were to carry on his mission of salvation, forming the church that they were going to be the pillars of. After 40 days, our Lord ascends into heaven, body and soul. St. Thomas Aquinas says he ascends by both his divine power and his human power. By his divine, of course, because he is God, he can do all things. But even as man, our Lord ascends into heaven, because his body is perfectly obedient to the dictates of his soul. That our Lord ascends in all of his glory, taking with him those souls in limbo, those good souls, men and women, who fought the good fight in the Old Testament, who saved their souls but had to wait in limbo for this glorious moment in which our Lord would free them from this place of waiting and would reopen the gates of heaven. What we celebrate is our Lord taking his rightful place at the right hand of his Father, what we mean by the term sitting at the right hand of the Father. And again, he sits there as God because he is equal to the Father. But he also sits there as man, as a triumphant king, as our judge, as our example, as our model. It is a reminder to us that our Lord Jesus Christ will come again someday at the end of the world to judge us, to look into the very depths of each one of our hearts to see, did we correspond with his glorious life? Did we correspond to the graces he won in his passion and death? Did we adhere to his resurrection, living a new life? And finally, are we worthy to ascend into heaven, to be brought into heaven by the merits of Christ? You see, we celebrate this day as a day full of glory, a royal supreme power that is rightly Christ. We meditate upon, and in a sense, we congratulate our Lord on his victory and his triumph. But we must also ask the question, why did our Lord ascend? Why was it necessary that our Lord would ascend into heaven? As I said, it was in order to take his rightful place, to take possession of his eternal kingdom. In a sense, with our Lord's risen body, this earth could no longer contain our Lord. This was not a suitable dwelling place for his glory and majesty. Only heaven was a suitable place for him. And so he took his rightful place in order to take possession of his kingdom, to take the rightful possession of his reward. But what's more, our Lord ascended into heaven in order to prepare a place for each one of us. He himself had told his apostles during his last discourse at the Last Supper, "There are many mansions in my Father's house, and I will go to prepare one for you." Do we often think enough about that? Our Lord, even as we speak, is preparing a place for us in heaven, that he has a very special place, a very special reward for each one of us, which is tailored to our merits, tailored to the graces that we correspond to in this life. And that even as we speak, our Lord is interceding for us, constantly showing forth the wounds of his passion to his heavenly Father, interceding for us, reminding him that our Lord suffered and died for each one of us, and that he desires each one of us to be saved, for each one of us to gain this crown in heaven. It's a great consolation to each one of us when perhaps we are tempted to think that this valley of tears, the Christian life in this world, a very pagan world, is simply too difficult to live. When we are tempted to think that the commandments of the church, the commandments of God, in this day and age are too difficult to keep, we are reminded that we have an intercessor in heaven, our Lord himself, who prepares a place for each one of us, who desires each one of us to dwell with him for all eternity. And then finally, our Lord ascends into heaven in order to send us the great paraclete, the helper, the advocate, the Holy Ghost. Our Lord understood with his apostles they were still far too much attached to simply his humanity. They did not have a supernatural love. Their love for him was true, but it was still far too human. And so in order to correct that, in order to perfect that, in order to supernaturalize their love, our Lord ascended into heaven. He left them. But as he told them himself, he would not leave them orphans. He would send them the Holy Ghost to inspire them, to make them holy, to transform them into his image and likeness. And we must remember that, my dear faithful, the Holy Ghost comes to us as well. And he inspires us through the sermons, through the good spiritual readings, through sacred scripture, through the teachings of Holy Mother Church. He inspires us to live a life of virtue, a Christ-like existence. But it is up to us to correspond to the inspirations of the Holy Ghost. It is up to us to correspond with the graces of God. And each one of us has special graces given to him or her in order to become a saint. And our Lord ascends into heaven for us to correspond to those graces, in order for us to become saints, in order for us to become holy. That is the chief work of the Holy Ghost, the act of sanctification, of making holy. And so again, each one of us will be held accountable on the day of judgment for all of the graces that we have received, all of the graces that we have corresponded to, all of the graces that we have rejected. The Holy Ghost inspires us and speaks to us even today. And thus, finally, we must consider on this glorious feast of the Ascension, how we are to enter into the mystery of the Ascension of our Lord, how we are to truly celebrate it, not just on the day of the feast, but throughout the season of the Ascension, and of course, throughout our entire lifetimes. Firstly, we must adore Christ. This feast should inspire us with a profound spirit of adoration, of worship. Our Lord, sitting at the right hand of his Father, shows forth his majesty, shows forth his glory, reminds us that he mediates for us, that he is our advocate. We should be filled with a sense of awe, of adoration, of worship for our Lord Jesus Christ. And we must resolve today and always to give him our entire being, our entire hearts, our entire minds, our entire souls. Our Lord is our everything, and therefore we belong entirely to him. And thus we must be filled with a profound spirit of gratitude and adoration. Secondly, this feast should remind us that this world is not our true home. We must learn how to detach ourselves from this world, from the things of this world, and instead fix our gaze on heaven. We are meant to long for heaven. We are meant to desire heaven. Our Lord ascending into heaven reminds us that that's where our true home is. That's where our thoughts and our aspirations should lie. And this world, this valley of tears, should be treated simply as a means to an end. This world in which we live is simply a trial ground, in which we prove ourselves in order to gain an eternal crown. And we must not be bogged down or tied down by the concerns of this world. This Feast of the Ascension should remind us that this world truly and really holds nothing for us. We should see it for what it truly is, as a stepping stone to heaven. And yet we often make the mistake of being so overly concerned with this world and all of the concerns of this world. And God forbid we get caught up with the spirit of this world, with all of its selfishness and all of its sinfulness, that we often forget to even think upon heaven. We often forget to think upon our last end and what we were truly made for and why we are truly here and what this world is all about. This feast is meant to remind us that we have a true home in heaven, and that's where our aspirations should lie. That's where our thoughts should be concerned. And that should be the goal and the motivation of every action, of everything we do. Only heaven is a suitable dwelling place for the follower of Christ. And then finally, this feast should remind us to form a resolution to imitate Christ, our Lord who spent 33 years on the face of this earth, suffering, doing penance, mortifying himself, laying down his life for the sins of the world, practicing every virtue, is a beautiful reminder to us, is a beautiful model to each one of us, that if we wish to ascend to heaven, if we wish to aspire to an eternal crown, then we must pay the price as our Lord himself did, practicing a life of mortification, of suffering lovingly for our Lord, carrying our crosses well, being resigned to the divine will, divine providence. Our Lord conquered the world, the flesh, and the devil by his suffering and death on the cross. We will share in that victory only if we overcome the world and the flesh and the devil by our own sufferings, by our own crosses. And thus, we must desire today and always to correspond to the graces that God sends us, to accept the cross as it is presented to us in this life. And as we are called to live a life of prayer, of virtue, of goodness, of holiness, a life of grace. This is the only way that we can truly correspond to this feast of the Ascension. And so, my dear faithful, today we celebrate a very joyous day, a very glorious day. Liturgically, our Lord leaves us. And that's the symbolism of the extinguishing of the Paschal candle, which we will not see again during the Mass until Easter. It is a reminder our Lord has left us, but only in order to prepare a place for us. And he does not leave us orphans. He sends us the Holy Ghost to inspire us, to perfect us. And thus, we are reminded today that we will see Christ again. We are meant to see Christ again. As a true follower of Christ, we must see Christ again. And so we rejoice today, and we look to our real home which is heaven. We look to a new life, a real life, which is the life of heaven. A new life, which our Lord himself tells us is a divine life. We see that in the beautiful preface of today's Mass. He was elevated into heaven in order to make us partakers of his divinity. If that does not inspire us, nothing will. Our Lord ascended into heaven to make us partake in his divinity. We are to share in the divine life of God. That is our destiny. That is our eternal crown that awaits us, that should inspire us, that should move us to a life of grace, a life of virtue, and a life of holiness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.